I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinikas? Ms. Reinchild?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock? Mr. Yensel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
And Mr. President, as we get started, we have Sydney Thomas, who is in grade 7. She will lead us in the pledge tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sydney. So, it's all right with you guys, let's recognize our students first, and then we'll go on with the rest of the night.
Thank you, Mr. President. And the first person that I would like to recognize is our London Rotary Student of the Month. So if Hannah Geyer is in the audience, if Hannah could come up to the podium. So later this week, Hannah will be recognized at the London Rotary Club luncheon on Thursday, and she is going to be the Madison Plains Student of the Month for the Rotary Club for the month of October. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Hannah has a 4.18 grade point average, ranking her second in her class. Her favorite course is anatomy and physiology. Hannah has been involved in marching band throughout all 4 years of high school, and she has served as the low brass squad leader. She has also been in Key Club for 2 years and has served as president, National Honor Society for 3 years, where she has served as vice president, student council for 3 years and has served as treasurer, and she has served as class secretary for 2 years, including this year as senior class secretary. In addition to all of this, Hannah has also been in Quick Recall for 4 years and Drama Club for 3 years. Hannah was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, and she said her music teacher, Mr. Andrew Lawrence, inspires her because he cares so much about his students and loves what he does. Regarding Hannah, Mr. Lawrence said, "Hannah has been an excellent student for me the past 7 years. She is someone I can count on to lead others, do the extra work, and find creative ways towards a solution. She is a fine musician who is dedicated to her craft, eager to learn, and focused on helping others in their music pursuits as well. She has been a joy to teach." After graduation, Hannah plans to go to college, likely for music or science education, and Hannah is the daughter of Scott and Carrie Geyer. Hannah, we would just like to say congratulations to you. We are very proud of you. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to all kinds of wonderful things ahead for you as well. So well done. Mr. President, we have two other groups here with us for recognition this evening. The first is the 7th grade volleyball team. If they could stand, I would like to be able to recognize them. They have, and I will be happy to let the coaches speak as well if they would like. They have an overall 13-2 record. Their divisional record is 8-1. The 7th grade entered the tournament as the number one seed. They defeated three teams on their way to the championship, and they defeated Cedarville in the finals to claim the OHC South Championship. Coach, would you like to say anything about your team?
Well, I just would like to add who all was on the team this year.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Please do.
So we have a couple of the girls here, but the full roster this year was Chloe Mason, Bella Wilson, Sydney Thomas, Ava Mace, Hannah Crabb, Sophia Stiers, Caitlin Hodges, Aubrey Kress, Aisla McCracken, Skylar Mayab, Hannah Morrow, and Ariana Moore. And you about covered it. We had a really good regular season, went into the tournament as the number one seed, played really well, and pulled out the win, and ended the season as league champions.
Very good. Well, congratulations to you all. Very proud of you and your accomplishments, and we look forward to more success in the future. Okay?
Thank you.
So thank you very much. The other group that we would like to recognize this evening is our 8th grade team. If you would, 8th grade, please stand. The 8th grade had an overall record of 10-5. Their divisional their divisional record was 6-3. The eighth grade entered the tournament as the number 2 seed. They defeated 3 teams on their way to the championship, and they defeated Southeastern in the finals to claim the OHC South Championship, and the eighth graders are back-to-back champions. So well done. Congratulations on your accomplishment. Very proud of you as well. Coach, is there anything you would like to say?
Well, the eighth graders this year were Ariel Stout, Megan West, Cambria Webb, Reagan Fisher, Kasten Little, Sadie Mason, Kenzie Valerie, Addie Phillips, and Kelsey Mitchell. We had a really good season this year. Unlike most eighth grade teams, we started off with half of our team being brand new to volleyball. So that was a mountain to climb, but you know what? They worked really hard, and they finished the season really strong.
Very good. Very good. Student athletes, congratulations on your accomplishments. Well done. Very proud of you. Coaches, thank you for all the hard work and time and effort that you put in as well. We appreciate everything that you have done also. We know that it doesn't happen without you. And we'd just like to give a shout out to the parents and guardians as well. You have dedicated time to get these youngsters back and forth to practice and to games and whatnot, and we certainly appreciate that too. We know it takes everyone. So again, congratulations to our Student of the Month, Ms. Hannah Geyer, and congratulations to our 7th-8th grade volleyball teams. Mr. President, I do not have any employee recognition, so at this time, I would like to let all of our students and our parents know that you are welcome to leave. You do not need to stay for the rest of the meeting. We thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening, and go Eagles!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so now we'll do public communication, session one. Jenny
Weddington. Hi, I'm Jenny Weddington. My address is 11420 Sarah 56 Southeast, Mount Sterling, Ohio, 43143. I am here this evening in my capacity as Madison Plains Education Association President. The membership has asked me to come and speak tonight to make you aware of some concerns. First and foremost is the bus situation. While we acknowledge and appreciate that we are in an untenable situation without an easy or ready solution, the teachers are very concerned about the fact that they are missing time with their students, K through 12. The students at the high school level, especially because these are students we are trying to graduate, are missing their first period and a good portion of their second period of instruction. Not only are they missing out on instructional time, but again, these are classes required for graduation. And it's easy for us to say, you need to work with these kids during Eagle period to help them catch up, but this is 30 minutes of catch-up time. It's not the same as a class period, and it's not the same as being in a class with students and having that give and take, which is essential to learning. This becomes even more of an issue when teachers are expected to use the same 30 minutes to provide intervention for students who need to retake state tests. So now you're trying to work with two separate groups of students and catch them up within your Eagle period. We really are looking for a better plan for how to deal with this ongoing issue, be it schedule changes or changing the way we pick up kids, maybe picking up the Mount Sterling kids first and dropping them off, picking them up a little bit earlier than we would normally, and then going for midway. I don't know what the solution is, but this is becoming a very big concern with our teachers. The second concern is a concern about the timeliness in which decisions are made. A current example of this involves book orders placed by the Madison Plains librarian, Heidi Fletcher, on May 2nd and May 4th, respectively. This book order was denied for the fourth year in a row, pending a conversation about the books. This conversation has not happened. I am aware that this is a very, very challenging year, but we're talking 5.5 months at this point in time. I am asking that we come up with an alternative process for book approval for library purchases. Mrs. Fletcher is trying to abide by the wishes of the district as well as follow board policy, but the fact that book purchases are being delayed this long and that we have lost grant monies as a result is a concern. I would suggest either a time frame in which the superintendent has to weigh in or a roundtable discussion that has to happen by a certain date. For example, if Mrs. Fletcher were to send the principals and Mr. Eisler and one or two MPEA members a list of books, give them a month to read them, and then come back. So maybe February 28th by March 31st. That way these book earners are getting in so that we're ready to begin the next school year. I respectfully implore that you discuss this and evaluate the situations thoroughly and help us find solutions to each of these problems. Trust your building leadership to make decisions on some issues, open up conversations with staff involved to see what solutions would be workable, and come to an implement an agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the only name I had out of public communication. So now move to section board work session. I don't have anything in particular. Do you guys have anything?
The only thing that I think we maybe ought to just discuss briefly is with regard to the OSBA Capital Conference. There is a need for an OSBA legislative liaison to attend some meetings at the Capital Conference. Mr. Stonerock is the person who we have named. He was appointed back in January, but there is currently no alternate. On the off chance that Mr. Stonerock would not be able to attend the Capital Conference, we believe it would be important to name an alternate. I think nominating Mrs. Anikas would be a good idea. I believe she intends to attend part of the Capital Conference at least, and having her be able to represent the district in that capacity I think would be good. We have talked to her about this. She is willing to do that. And so there is a motion on the agenda later on for this purpose. So just wanted to discuss that with the board. As always, if there is an interest in attending Capital Conference, please let us know. We would be happy to work to get that arranged. So,
and you know, we don't have to attend the whole thing, whatever you're able to attend. It's definitely worthwhile. Good conference. All right. So now we'll move to section F, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I move by recommendation of the superintendent that the minutes of September 20th, 2022 be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Section G, department reports.
And Mr. President, we have with us this evening Ms. Karen Grigsby. She will present to us this evening on the local report card results from the state of Ohio. And Ms. Grigsby, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. As you know, in September, the state issued report cards to all school districts in the state of Ohio. We have a lot to be proud of here at Madison Plains with the hard work that our teachers are doing, our students are doing, even despite some of the conditions that, you know, we all wish could be better. So let me share with you a little bit of that good news that we have to celebrate, if this little...
It may not work for people.
Click it. All right, so this is just a overview of the district report card and our ratings on five components. You'll notice that there are six components showing there. The sixth component being college, career, and workforce and military readiness is actually not going to be included until 2025, but the other five are showing. We are excited about a lot of these results, and I'm going to walk you through each one of these this evening. I will just note that we did earn 18 stars in total, which was more than any other district in Madison County, more than a few of our other neighbors as well, and so we are certainly excited about that. The state is not issuing overall ratings, though, until next school year's report card, where the district will just get one overall rating in addition to these components. However, they have released to us what those calculations will look like, and so I've included that on this slide as well. So that what you can see there is approximately 28.6% of the overall rating will be for achievement and the same for progress. And then the other three measurements will be approximately 14.26% each. So being the math-minded person that I am, I did all those calculations just to get an idea of where we stood. And that would have been an equivalent of an overall rating of four stars out of five stars. And so we're excited about that as well. The first component that I want to talk to you about tonight is the achievement component. And a four-star rating that we receive means that we have exceeded the state standards in academic achievement. This is an area that we continually work towards and an area that we've not seen those high of ratings the last several years. So we're excited about that. Achievement on our new report card is based on the performance index score, which is the performance levels of all of your students. So it's not just what percentage of students pass the test. It is, you get a weighted score for each performance level. So the highest being advanced, so students who scored in the advanced range, those test scores are weighted a little bit higher than accomplished versus proficient and so on. We obtained 82% of the maximum score for achievement, so we are excited about that as well. That put us in the upper third of all districts in the state of Ohio. I do want to point out here some major highlights in that achievement score. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade across the board, our students were scoring very high in those advanced and accomplished range, as well as our high school biology and high school government. And so we're excited about that as well. In these areas, they weren't just passing the state tests, but they were passing with very high marks. The second component is the progress component. A three-star rating there tells us our students made progress similar to what the statewide expectation was. This is actually an area that we in past years have been rated much higher on. And so this will be, while we are excited to know that we are meeting what the expectations are, this will be a continued area of discussion about how we can continue to show progress with students while balancing that idea of achievement. We want to show growth with every student. That's been a message that we have been, you know, working towards for the last 10 years, is showing growth with each and every student. So you can see there in that table how each tested area measured out. Most areas met that statewide expectation. Again, not only did we have high achievement in biology and in sixth grade courses, but we also had very high progress in those as well. We had very high progress in those areas as well. U.S. history was an area that we had significantly more progress. Significantly more progress than that which was the statewide expectation. And so that course, That course is, of course, our Civics English program. Where those students are taking U.S. history. Obviously, we have some work to do in terms of progress, in eighth grade language arts and in Algebra 1, and so those will be continual areas of focus throughout our teacher-based teams and our building leadership team discussions this school year. Gap closing was our highest rated area. It's very exciting. We had a five-star rating there, which means we significantly exceeded the state standards in closing educational gaps. So this component measures the reduction in educational gaps for student subgroups. Those subgroups include all students as one subgroup, but then also Hispanic students, multiracial students, our white student population, as well as English learners. So all of those areas are measured. What's exciting is that I'll tell you that. Hold on just a second. Sorry. This also measures not just their achievement, but their progress in each of those areas. It measures graduation goals. There's also the gifted performance indicator that is included in that, as well as English language proficiency improvement for those students who are English learners, and then our chronic absenteeism improvement. However, that piece of the gap closing wasn't included this year. It will be included next year. So some major highlights. We exceeded the state goals in achievement and graduation for all of those subgroups that I mentioned. Specifically, our Hispanic subgroup, multiracial, and economically disadvantaged subgroups are exceeding those state goals by double digits, sometimes by nearly 20% or more. So that's really exciting news for us as well. We remain, as we were last year, the highest ranked district in the county for gifted performance and services, so for services that we provide to our students who are gifted. And then, even though chronic absenteeism wasn't included in this measurement that gave us that five-star rating, it was reported, and we did improve our chronic absenteeism rate by 7.2%, which is really good, because that is an area that we are struggling right now, is chronic absenteeism. We just have way too many kids who are absent more than the acceptable amount of time. So we're continually working on that, and having our kids in our classrooms is vital to making those improvements in achievement and progress as well. So you can see gap closing kind of takes into account all kinds of things. It takes in achievement, progress, graduation, all these other different components that have their own ratings. Gap closing looks at those. It sets state goals and how you compare to those state goals in each of these subgroups. So it's really, it's a wonderful thing to see that that's where our five-star rating was, because it takes into account so many different measurements. Graduation was also rated as part of the new report card. We met the state standards in graduation rates. However, this is an area that we need to continue to work towards, keeping kids in school and keeping them achieving at the levels necessary to attain a high school diploma. We're seeing a drop in our four-year graduation rate. One thing to note on the state report card is the four-year rate that is reported is for the class of 2021, so that's not the class that just graduated. And the five-year rate is reported for the class of 2020. So those are two things to keep in mind, that it's not like our most recent data that gets reported, because they give that a year for kids to gain all that data and who has attempted courses after their 4 years of high school, those kinds of things. My next slide I want to show you is something that is of concern and why this is so important. As you can see from this graph, we have a trend of declining graduation rates. It has been going since 2018. Of course, the pandemic did not help that. In fact, it has created more problems for students who, especially those students who chose online education for a time being. They are struggling to catch up to attain the credits they need. We are seeing more apathy about school than we had pre-pandemic. It seems to be easier for more kids are seeing less importance in that getting their high school diploma, and so we're seeing higher dropout rates. That's a trend that's happening across the state. As you can see, you can see both our four-year and five-year are declining. The state graduation rate is declining a bit too, but this is something that we really have to focus our time in, and one of the biggest ways that we can get kids to graduate is having kids at school. So that goes back to that chronic absenteeism and getting our students to school. The final component that was rated was early literacy. This is another area of our improvement plan that we are going to be very focused on this year. We did meet the state expectations in early literacy. However, you know, in past years prior to the pandemic, we scored a little bit higher than this. So we're still trying to catch up kids from those COVID years when they were missing school, quite a bit of school. 98.4% of our third graders did meet the requirements to be promoted to fourth grade. However, 68.4% of those third graders actually scored proficient or higher on the reading portion of the state ELA test. That again goes back to missed time when they were kindergarten, first, second grade, and those things were happening. And so we need to, the COVID years were happening, and so we need to continue to pour in our efforts to make interventions with our young readers. As well, the other portion of this is the improving K-3 literacy. One thing to note about that, while 33.3% seems a bit low, one-third, what we have to understand is that only takes into account kids who were not on track to begin with. And so those students who were not on track a year prior, we were able to recover a third of those students within a year's time. So we're still working towards recovery of the other two-thirds of those students. So when they were a year behind in where they needed to be in September of 2020, and a lot of kids were because they had missed that whole last quarter of school, within a year's time, we were able to catch up about a third of them to grade level, not just a year's growth, but more than a year's growth, getting them up to grade level. So we continue to work towards that. So those are just some highlights of the things we learned from the state report card. And just want to say once again how appreciative we are of the efforts of our teachers. And we thank you, the Board of Education, for your efforts to ensure that we are able to provide quality educational services and getting our kids to school so that they can receive those as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. I know we were all excited when we got kind of the preliminary news last month. It's good to see this in more detail. I think a key thing for us is to make sure this information gets out to our community, our taxpayers, our parents. I know we sent an email or one call, whatever it was last week, to kind of get the word out. I think we just need to continue to think of ways that we can get this information out. This is very good news. It's based on a lot of hard work by our staff, our students, parents. Everybody plays a part in this, and we're incredibly appreciative of all that hard work. So it's good to get some more detail about this information. I just ask that you continue to look for ways that we can promote and get the word out about what we're doing, and work to figure out ways we can improve the areas that we do have to improve. And if the resources of the board can help, you know, obviously we're on board for that. Anything? All right, so now we'll go to Section H, Superintendent Committee Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'd like to update the board on our Facilities Advisory Committee. Excuse me. They have met on Thursday, October 6th, and on Wednesday, October 12th. The FAC has spent the last two meetings taking the data that has been presented to them in previous meetings, discussing it, and then developing a proposal to take to the community meetings that are upcoming. The two community meetings that are coming up are, the one is next week on Tuesday, October 25th. At 7 o'clock p.m. in the Mount Sterling Community Center. The second one then is on Thursday, November 3rd, 2022 at 7 o'clock in the high school gym here on campus. The final FAC meeting, Facilities Advisory Committee meeting, will be on Thursday, November 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. in the high school auditorium. The purpose of that meeting for the FAC is that they will take the feedback that has been given to them through the community meetings and work to develop a finalized proposal that will then be brought to the Board of Education at the December 20th meeting. At least that is the plan. So, December 20th is the right day. That seemed a little close to Christmas to me. But yeah, it is December 20th. So that is what will happen. We have a Facilities Advisory Committee meeting scheduled for tomorrow evening via Zoom. The purpose of that meeting is to finalize the details for the community meetings that are coming up and hopefully which committee members will be presenting during those presentations. So that is kind of where we are at, but ultimately, again, we are on pace at this point to have a proposal brought to the board on December 20th. So looking forward to that. The only other superintendent committee that I would like to update on is our academic advisory, or DLT. We did not meet here in the month of October, and if I am correct, our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, December 5th currently. Ms. Grigsby, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So that is all I have in terms of superintendent committee reports at this time.
Thank you. Now move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I'll be pretty brief. Because next month I get to take up all your time with the five-year forecast. The September monthly financial report, I don't want to say good news and bad news, but overall good news. Based on our projections, we have a $216,000 favorable compared to our forecast based on our current year-to-date collections. And we have current year-to-date expenditures were unfavorable, $542,000. So if you remember right, that's based on our last year's forecast, which didn't have some of the expenses we've incurred here at the beginning of this school year that we chose to incur. So those are known issues that you should see those variances anyway. Smaller when we have the new forecast come out, because those costs will be incorporated into that new forecast. Let's see here. I don't really need to go through every part of this. It's the same format you've seen before, and a lot of the variances I end up explaining are for the same reasons. Until we get 2 years of solid data based on how we've started to collect things, no longer taking advances, taking into account the new funding formula, I keep repeating the same things about open enrollment, or throwing things off, and then advances throwing things off. But what it really comes down to for us, find the cash position one, is that we still show, we estimate an operating surplus this year of $309,489, so that bottom right one. We expected more than that initially with the forecast. That's why you see that minus $326,000, because that's less than what our budgeted forecast amount was. But even with that taken into consideration, we still show a surplus of $309,000 right now. So that's where I say good news, bad news. It's off compared to our previous forecast, but we know that. And we still show a healthy surplus being carried over to the next year of $309,000. So I don't want to delve into the details too much. We've got a pretty big agenda tonight. We've already heard a lot of information. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
We're good.
Okay. That does conclude my report.
Mr. President, I move by recommendation of the Treasurer the Board approve financial items I-3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Excuse me. Now move to Section J, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, everyone. It is good to be with you this evening. I have a few discussion items as I head into the superintendent's report portion of the meeting this evening. The first of which is the playground here at the K-6 building. I am happy to report to you that the new playground equipment arrived earlier this month. And the project is now complete. Students are able to utilize it, and we are very, very pleased about this. It has been a long time in development, and we, of course, were affected by supply chain delays. But it is complete, and students are enjoying it, and have seen a lot of happy faces and very, very happy young people, and probably some happy teachers as well, being able to get out to the playground. So very pleased about that. I want to thank Mr. Brian Garrett and his team as well for the work that they did to prepare the playground and just kind of finish some things up along the way. He was, Mr. Garrett was on the phone. In fact, I heard from the installers that he did an awful lot to advocate for the district, let's just put it that way, to make sure that we were getting this project moved along, and certainly appreciate that. And appreciate everybody and everything that they did, so very pleased. The next item I have for as a discussion item, I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that we have a permanent improvement levy on the ballot, a renewal, on November 8th, 2022. The funds generated by the permanent improvement levy support things like the purchases of school buses, textbooks, technology for students and teachers, and repairs and upkeep for our aging facilities. The original levy was for 2.5 mils for each $1 of valuation, which amounts to 25 cents for each $100 of valuation. The millage rate for this levy has reduced over the years, so it is actually significantly less for property owners than the original rate. I believe it is probably now in the ballpark of about 10 cents for every $100 of valuation, so significantly less than it was before due to the reduction value over time. The original levy was passed in 1987. It is renewed consistently. There have been a couple of replacements along the way, but basically it has been renewed consistently by the community since 1987. So we are hopeful that the community will continue to support this. It is certainly very, very important in the life of the school district in terms of being able to make the repairs and replace equipment that needs to be done. So certainly is important. With regard to transportation, I want, as everyone knows, there is a national bus driver shortage. Our situation here in rural America is quite challenging, and we are working to advertise and attract bus drivers. There have been ads on Facebook and on the website. We have been doing some interviewing, but admittedly that has not been quite as fruitful as we have liked or would have liked. So we have reached out to First Student, a private transportation company. They have been indicating to us of late that they do not have students right, or they do not have staff right now either. I have even spoken with a member of the National Guard about whether or not we could have guardsmen drive. At one point, that was something that was being discussed earlier in the pandemic. And at this point in time, it does not appear like that is much of a likely possibility. But it is something that we have, in an attempt to try to be creative and pursue solutions, that is one thing that has been discussed as well. Also, in an attempt to be creative, we have posted for a 40-hour position for bus driving and other duties. So far, we have had one person who is, well, we've had a couple people who have indicated an interest in that. We have interviewed one person. He is considering whether or not that's something that he may want to do. He may want to drive without the 40-hour position. He's not sure, but he is considering that. We have had another person reach out, and they have just they have not returned our call. So, but we are working to do this. I have also put together a Google sheet with bus driver pay rates within our county and some of the surrounding districts. We are the lowest in the county for starting wage by approximately $1. And that would just get us to the next lowest district in the county. Through the middle of the salary schedule, we are the lowest as well, and by the time we get to the top of the schedule, we are not the lowest anymore, but there are two districts in the county that are above us, and we're $1.39 short of one district and 75 cents beneath another one. In addition, and so I would suggest that maybe we do need to have a conversation. I think maybe that would be wise to have a conversation about trying to increase bus driver pay and compensation. I also think that there is a possibility that maybe we could look at signing bonuses and retention bonuses for the current staff that we have to keep them happy and keep them here. And I think maybe looking at the possibility of paying drivers for their hours and training as well. We pay for training in terms of the instructor and paying for the courses that they need to take, but actually compensating people for the training that they're going through while they're getting ready, that might be something that we could look at as well. In an attempt to be creative, it might be worth a look to begin talking about two-tier busing. That I know in some regards may not be the most popular solution, but at the end of the day, two-tier busing is likely going to be more efficient in terms of bus drivers. So that might be something that we need to do. I know there are a lot of districts around us that do that also, and so that might be something. And I want to be clear, we have not looked far down the path at two-tier busing at this point in time, but it is something that perhaps we need to start considering. I do believe at one point I was under the impression we could not move to two-tier busing until next school year. Through conversation with legal counsel, I have learned that if we wanted to do that this school year yet, we actually could. So it would just be a matter of putting things in place to be able to do that. But at the moment, it appears that that is something that we could do. Additionally, we are looking at the possibility of moving some drivers to some alternate routes, which are so that we can alternate routes which are delayed. With the current shortage and where we are at, it so happens that Mount Sterling is the community that has been most adversely impacted. And we think that maybe it's time to try to move some drivers around so that some other, and it's not that we want to negatively impact others, but it's not fair to the students who continue to be negatively impacted over the course of the long haul. I do have a former retired bus driver who has indicated that they would like to come back. They're actually on the agenda tonight. So very happy that person has indicated that they would like to drive for us. So that will be a help, but we continue to search. So I also wanted to mention on a couple of other notes. I have mentioned, I believe, in past board meetings about a local solar company, Foundation Solar Partners, who has expressed a desire to lease land from the school district so that they can connect to the power grid. I believe I mentioned last month that agreement at this point in time is being discussed between legal counsel, between our district and their company. At this point in time, we do not have a solution to the issues that have been presented with regard to that, but I know the two sides are continuing to work on that. My hope is that at next month's meeting, perhaps we have a solution. I can't guarantee that, of course, but for the sake of the project, it would be nice if that was a reality. The other thing I wanted to mention as well, there has been a request to about the possibility of dedicating the press box in honor of Victor Tope. It is my understanding that he was a longtime member of the Athletic Boosters and a vital reason that the current day stadium that we have was built. And he was very active in the school community. We have a couple of community members who are interested in pursuing that. I'm going to look into a few things with regard to that. I believe the community members would be happy to purchase the materials to be able to get that done. But I want to do a little bit of homework and a little bit of research around, you know, dedicating things and whatnot, and I'll be in touch. But I wanted to make the board aware that that is something that is currently being discussed. The only other item I have as a discussion item, and it really is just for your reading, we have, courtesy of Mr. Mason and Dr. Hoagley at Tolls, we have this month's Tolls report available for the members of the board. So beyond that, I do not have anything in terms of discussion items.
Just wanted to open the conversation up a little bit to some of those points you made, on the transportation. And it's a little difficult because we don't have all of our board members here tonight, but the ideas that you put out there, how are you wanting us as a board to work with you to kind of choose which one those we're going to implement? Because I think we all realize, last week was kind of a a low point in this whole process. And it's just, and I fully acknowledge all the difficulties. They're nationwide, and it's not unique to us, all that kind of stuff. But those ideas are great. We've got to do something to try to minimize the impact this is having on our families. So how do you want us to kind of choose which one of those ideas that you're putting out there and kind of implement them in a timely manner?
I guess the question becomes, what for the members of the board who are here, and I can work to reach out to the other two members if you would like to make sure that we have consensus. But are some of the, for those who are here, are some of those ideas particularly pleasing?
I mean, thank you for going through all those. I mean, obviously, you thought about it very meticulously. Of those, what would be like the top two? I mean, I know you went through a lot of things. Or what fixes the problem? You know, they spoke earlier about how it's impacted maybe graduation rates or kids that are seniors trying to graduate and how it's detrimentally impacting their ability to get credit for classes to get through high school. That's obviously serious to all of us, and that's very paramount. What are these issues? What fixes it? Is it the split schedule? I know that's not obviously a super favorite thing, but as you mentioned, I think all the connecting schools, I believe, are on split schedules. Is that a temporary solution to try to fix the problem until maybe the bus situation gets fixed down the road, or maybe in the following fall and employment gets better for that, or what? What kind of nail in the coffin that eliminates this?
Well, I think, so based upon the information that has been given to me when I came into the district, it sounds like if we were to move to two-tier busing, I don't know that that's going to be well received by the community. Clearly, this is a problem that is not well received either. But I guess I would like to work to exhaust other options before we go to that. It is something that, I mean, if we needed to, we could make the switch at the semester if we needed to. And I think we have some time to be able to do that if we felt like we needed to. But I think that is going to become, that will be a major imposition on our community. We have parents who have work schedules that have been, arranged based upon the way transportation currently works. So that would be the last of the options that I would want to explore. I would personally prefer, and I do appreciate the board having made commentary to me in the past about the possibility of pursuing the 40-hour work week for people. I think that is a benefit. So the fact that we can do that right now and potentially offer multiple positions for people, we need to make sure that there's work available in the district. But based upon my conversations with some of my administrators, I know that there are opportunities coming up to be able to provide some work in the district that would round out a 40-hour week for people. That I think is a viable option, and we're pursuing that. I think looking at the signing and retention bonuses, and I think paying people for their hours of training, I like the idea of doing that. I personally would be a fan as well of offering to increase the pay for our drivers too. I think that is one thing that we do hear about, and I think it takes that piece off the table. One of the things that has been brought to my attention as I've been working through this here this school year, a person who has a CDL, just a regular professional CDL, they were able to go out and get work probably, and it would be full-time, in the $30 to $40 an hour range if they were to go out and drive. And for a person in that position, they only are responsible for the rig that they're driving, so the vehicle that they're driving, and the load that they're hauling. And in, for professional CDL holders, that could be anything from a load of stone on the back of a semi-truck to, perhaps some freight that is being shipped, by Amazon. Whereas a bus driver, they get their CDL, and they come to work in a school district, and if they were to come to work at a district like Madison Plains, they earn somewhere in the range of $17 to $18 an hour to start, and they are not only responsible for themselves in the vehicle, they are responsible for the 50 or 60 students behind them, both every morning and afternoon. And that is a big responsibility. It is a difficult responsibility. As somebody pointed out to me, if you're going to go and get your CDL, I'm not 100% sure that maybe driving a school bus is the thing that you would necessarily do. In the past, it's been a great, it was a great job for maybe some stay-at-home moms who wanted to round out their family's income and help make the ends meet at home, to be able to bring in some insurance for the family and things of that nature. It was a great job for some farmers. They could go out and drive in the morning, the afternoon, and then get out in their barns, out in their fields. It just seems like here of late, and again, there is a national shortage, so this is not just Madison Plains, and there's been a national shortage for years. I just think that with the situation around the pandemic and the labor shortage in the country, the problem has now been exacerbated, and we in rural America particularly seem to be really feeling the pinch, although I know they're struggling with this in urban and metro, or in suburban areas as well. But we seem to be really feeling the pinch. And as we are, it is difficult to hire in rural America as it is. People like the suburbs, and they want to be around the big metropolitan areas. And so I think if we can do some things to help shore up some of the pay, that is something that I would be interested in. I will be honest and tell you, I don't know that that fixes all of the problems, but it might go part of the way and help us. Again, I think moving to a two-tier solution at this point in time, though it is, I mean, we have, when you want to talk about creative and trying to exhaust all the options, that is one that has to be on the table at this point in time, but it is not the one that I would prefer to pursue. So I guess for those of you who are here, if you don't mind, I mean, kind of consensus, you know, within the confines of the discussion, if you're okay with me pursuing those things, I would like to be able to do that.
Definitely. I know the sign-on bonus, that would probably help a lot. And paying for their classes, because that is, they can go anywhere from, say, a month taking classes up to 3 months taking classes, plus trying to work a job in between.
Right.
Because they're not being paid, and that just gets crazy.
Right. And I, the sign-on bonus is nice. The concern that I have with that is that our current staff are going to say, well, what are you doing for me? Because I've been here and I'm
yes.
still here, which is why I think the retention bonus is an important part of that as well. I want to make sure that the employees that we currently have remain
mm-hmm.
happy, and that we honor them for the work that they are doing. Based upon the number of calls I get about transportation, and parents who are upset, driving a bus is a difficult job,
mm-hmm.
and I want to make sure that we are honoring those who have made the commitment and are following through.
Just to add to your point, no, I agree completely. You know, the split schedule should be the last option after we exhaust everything else, just for the impact it would have on people's families, the kids' routines, teachers' routines, where the school works, for sure. I think that would be the last option for sure. Hopefully you're able to get some traction on those other items that we talked about. As Mark said, you know, that last week was bad, and we gotta make sure that we're doing everything we can to do good to the kids, the teachers, the community, the taxpayers, and everybody. Appreciate that. Let's, you know, hopefully we can close on some of those items and improve our transportation.
I think it sounds like there's some consensus for the financial route. Definitely being the lowest is not where you want to be as far as in a very competitive world recruiting and retaining bus drivers. So we need to invest and improve that. We need to do that. You want to get some specifics to us? Let's make it happen.
All
right. Thank you. All right, I'm moving to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, the item that is before the board this evening in the policy and governance section is about appointing the legislative liaison alternate for the OSBA conference, as I mentioned earlier.
Mr. President, I move by recommendation of the superintendent the board approve policy items and governance items K2.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinsho?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Now move to Section L, Business.
Mr. President, there are no business items for this evening.
Okay. Section M, Personnel.
A number of items before the board this evening. There are some resignations that are there. We want to thank those folks for their service. We do certainly appreciate that and wish them well in their future endeavors. There's an item there about approving the STRS resolution to authorize employee pickup and contributions. So that is before the board. We are hiring, we are requesting the board to approve Rachel Fox as a long-term substitute teacher. She will be working in the music program. So asking for that, the employment of a substitute bus driver is before the board. There are some supplemental contracts that are before the board as well this evening. And then a couple of items there with regard to modification of employee contracts, largely around the use of vacation time. And then also for one of our exempt employees, the use of vacation time and also a cell phone stipend.
Mr. President, I move by recommendation of superintendent, the board approve personal items M2 to M9.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinsho?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Then we do Section N, donations.
President, there are two donations before the board this evening for acceptance. The one is from the Athletic Boosters with an approximate value of $12,820.45. These are for racks and benches for the weight room. And then there is a $500 anonymous donation to the principal's account, I believe at the K-6 building, to support five families for Thanksgiving.
Mr. President?
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the following donations.
Second.
Discussion. I think it's always important to thank anybody that's willing to donate money to us. We appreciate it and hopefully it goes to good use. Roll call, please.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinsho?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. And I just wanted to point out that the actual racks were donated, not the monies to purchase the racks. So the racks are actually in the weight room. Were purchased by the boosters and donated to the district.
All right. So nothing in section, excuse me, O, new business. So second, public communication section. We do not have anybody signed up. Anybody like to speak? All right, so now we'll go to executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 7:55 p.m. for the purpose of the following items under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the compensation of a public employee, and Section 5, matters to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statute.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinsho?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0. We're in executive session.
There will be no action taken after the executive session. Our next board meeting is Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. We also encourage you to attend the meeting at the Mount Sterling Community Center on the 25th, this coming Tuesday. And is the other one November 6th?
November 3rd.
Pardon me, November 3rd, 7 p.m. here at the... Is that the high school commons, or where's that one?
High school gym.
High school gym. All right, thank you.